Search your heart, you know you can't deny it. Come on and lose your life, just so you can find it. Father, give his only son, just to save us. The earth was shaking in the dark. All creation felt the Father's broken heart. Tears were filling heaven's eyes. The day that true love died, the day that true love died, when blood and
alive. We want you to stand up with us. And I know sometimes when you see the acoustics are all, well, you got to sing quiet. No, we want you to sing out. We want you to praise the Lord. We want you to lift your hands. We want you to shout. Just come along and worship with us.
Your praise, lift high the name of Jesus.
God is good. Let's just give him a clap of offering. He is good. You may be seated, but as you're sitting, shake the hands of the person next to you and just welcome them here.
Well, good morning. Everybody seems good and awake this morning. When you came in, you got to worship God. Several things on here just to let you know about. Several things going on this week. First of all, we don't have youth tonight. It is Labor Day weekend. I know a lot of families do stuff and go out of town, and we've tried to have youth before on Labor Day, and it never works out. So we just went ahead and canceled it for tonight. We'll get started back up next week. First Wednesday is this week. First Wednesday is a time once a month where we get together and do something special as a church. This week, it's our night of worship. So I want to invite you to come out, come early, and stay late, enjoy our time together. If you bring some snack food, it always helps, right? I mean, you can't go wrong with cupcakes and brownies. So we have the coffee, you bring everything else, and we'll have a good time together this Wednesday night. We're also recording these, and I'm working on a live worship CD, so we're getting a little bit closer on that. So we just invite you to join us for that. We also have some more stuff on your bulletins, a CPR class that's coming up. Our next semester of life groups will be starting in mid-September. These are our groups that meet throughout the week. Some meet in homes, some meet here. But it's a great way to get connected and meet other people here at Cornerstone and learn about the Bible together. And then we also have a Just Give Me Jesus simulcast. That's a conference, and instead of going to a conference, we're bringing the conference to you via the Internet. So it'll be here, and the date's September 21st, 22nd. Ann Graham Lotz leads this one. If you want more information, see Teresa. Teresa, raise your hand back here. If you don't know Teresa, she's getting all this together. You can talk to her. She'll fill you in on all the details. And then some more information about our trip to Nicaragua is in here. How many of y'all like listening to good music on your iPods or your phone? Y'all like? Well, we've got a slide. I'll throw Paul a curveball here. If you throw that slide, Richie and Luke that go here, they led worship probably about a month ago. Dogwood and Holly is their band name, and they came out with a new CD yesterday. It's on Amazon and iTunes, and it's just an awesome CD. So anyway, if you get a chance, check it out. They're going to have some physical, like the old style, like actual CDs for people that buy them still. I was doing youth one time. Got to tell you this. I was doing youth one time. And one of the teenagers came in and he says, "You won't believe what I found at my mom's house. It was this really big CD." I'm like, "Yeah? Yeah, yeah." He's like, "It was really cool. I've never seen anything like it." I'm like, "Yeah." And that's how CDs are going to be one day. But for now, you can get it on iTunes and Amazon. So anyway, just let you know about that. And that's what we were playing when everybody came in. So lots of good things this morning. And you have a special treat. Travis is bringing the message this morning. When Travis speaks, you never know what to expect. I don't know what he's going to say. I'm just trusting God is going to bring a great message to him this week, as he always does. We're just praying that it doesn't look like lightning or anything. Last time we kind of had some power issues while he was speaking, but we're good this morning. So we're just going to ask him just to bring it this morning and challenge us. And that's really what this series, Margin, is about. Challenging us to change the way we live our life, to slow down, to really get our priorities in the right place, and to really focus on God. If you would you go to the Lord in prayer with me this morning as we continue? Dear Heavenly Father, this morning, we just come before you thankful, just thankful that we can gather in a place like this, that we can sing our praises to you, that we can come together with other believers to be encouraged, to challenge each other, to exhort one another, as your word says, to spur one another on towards love and good deeds, as Hebrews tells us. Lord, I pray that this morning would be a time where we leave different than when we came, that our hearts would be open to your word and what you want to say to us this morning. And Lord, we just thank you so much for the many blessings that you've sent our way. We don't deserve them, Lord. But we're thankful for your grace. It's in Jesus' name I pray this morning. Amen.
This next song we're going to do is called Show Me Your Glory, and it's one that we've never done here before. But the words to this song, to me, are just so powerful. And the first verse says, "I see the cloud, I step in. I want to see your glory as Moses did. flashes of light and rolls of thunder. But I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Show me your glory. And then the second verse is, I'm awed by your beauty, lost in your eyes. I want to walk in your presence like Jesus did. Your glory surrounds me and I'm overwhelmed, but I'm not afraid. And then my favorite part of this song is the bridge. And it says, I long to look on the face of the one that I love, long to stand in your presence. It's where I belong. And those words, I just cannot imagine what that day is going to be like. And I think that you'll catch on to this song pretty quick. So if you would just stand with us. And while we're singing it, think of what it's going to be like when you are in the presence of Jesus. What it's going to be like when you do get to look on his face. Words cannot describe how that's going to be. So just think about that this morning as we sing. I see the cloud. I step in. I want to see your glory like Moses did. Flashes of light and rolls of thunder. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Show me.
Show me your glory.
Show me your glory. Show me your glory.
Let's just sing that out to him. Show me your glory.
Your face from my sin and cover my iniquities. Hate and be clean up and renew a right spirit within me. Don't cast me away from presence. Don't take your spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Restore to me the wonders of your love. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Restore. salvation. Restore to me the wonders of your love. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Restore to me, yeah, the joy of your salvation. Restore to me the wonders of your love. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Restore to me. Restore to me.
Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for this time of worship, this time together. Lord, we ask that you be with us as we sit and prepare to hear your word. Lord, we ask that you be with Travis as he brings it. Lord, that you'd speak boldly through him. Lord, that you'd open our hearts and make us ready. Lord, we thank you for everything. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Follow you. I will follow.
about y'all, but I have had a rough morning already. And then the praise band made me cry. We're talking about margin. And this morning I'll talk about kind of like margin for error. I came across a story. There was once a rich lord, and he was looking for a carriage driver. And he was asking, he asked one question to all the men. He said, "This road leads to my castle, which has many dangerous areas. On one stretch of the road, there's a steep mountain on one side and a sharp drop-off into a canyon on the other side. If you were selected to drive my carriage, just how close to that cliff do you think you could get the carriage without going over the edge?" The first man said timidly, "Well, I'm a good driver. I suppose I could get your carriage to within 6 feet of the edge." The second man, more confidently, said, "I'm an excellent driver. I could get your carriage to at least 3 feet from the edge." The third man said boldly, "None surpasses me in excellence. I am sure I could get the carriage right up to the edge of the road without going over." But for all their professed skill, it was the fourth man who was hired. The fourth man had said, "Sir, if you would give me the honor and the privilege of driving your carriage, I would stay as far away from the edge of the cliff as possible." Now, how many people this morning are as close to the edge of that cliff as you can get right now with your carriage? There's one honest man. Thank you. You know, this parable, the rich lord will, you know, that's God, the driver, that's you. The cliff is one of the many ways you can be derailed in God's will for your life. There's a lot of stuff out there. And when Mike started this series, he said, I feel kind of hypocritical preaching about this margin thing because he doesn't have a lot of margin in his life. Well, can I tell you, I feel like Britney Spears preaching about modesty up here. Because there's no margin in my life. And I'm getting really tired of being an example for you guys of ways not to do things. And you'll see later. There'll be more. One day I'd like to get up here and tell you this is the way you should do it because I did, but not this morning. I'm just like you guys. I have no margin in my life. And it was brought... This morning I walked past my little... And she was holding up her hands for me to hold her. And I had to walk past her because I had to go to Walmart and do a last-minute thing that I didn't get done yesterday because I had projects yesterday. And I'm coming here to do this, but who did I walk by? I walked by my purpose and didn't pick her up. And then I get to Walmart, and I've got my mind on getting in Walmart, getting one, and get over here, and I go across, and somebody's blowing the horn at me. Well, I about run over a guy in a Civic. And I had to walk over to him and apologize. I just wasn't paying attention. I'm sorry. Thank you for paying attention for both of us. I'm running wide open all the time. I have no space to slow down and be safe. And it's illustrated in Scripture. Proverbs 22:3 says, "A prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep on going and suffer for it." That's what I've been doing, and if I'm right, a lot of people are doing it with me. We're all just running as fast as we can go. Our lives are so full. And a lot of us, we perceive danger, and what do? We debate about it. We flirt with it. We try and rationalize it. How many people in here... When you come up against something, you say, "Well, is this right or is this wrong? Should I do this? Shouldn't I do this?" Anybody in here besides me? Don't open till later. How many people right now are on the edge of their finances? Would four paychecks, missed paychecks, put anybody under right now? I think that's where I'm at. We're all living on the edge. And it's hard living on the edge, isn't it? Because let's take driving for an example. When you're driving on the edge, you're tailgating somebody, right? And you're in a hurry to get somewhere. And you're constantly on the brakes, off the brakes, and on the brakes. You're constantly giving it gas, slowing down, speeding up. What are you doing to your car? You're trashing the brakes. What are you doing to yourself? How many people have a vein somewhere on their head that starts coming out? Anybody got a vein? You got a vein? I got a vein. Let's be brutally honest. How many people have said in the privacy of your car something you would never say about anybody else to their face? Do you think they heard that? Do you think they're looking in their mirror, gauging your emotional stress level, thinking about their speed? They see you look at your watch in the mirror so they can see you. You think they see you? If they were that observant, they probably wouldn't be going 25 and a 55 anyway. Okay? So it's all it's doing is creating stress on you and your car. And that's going to create more financial stress because you're going to have a $450 rotor job instead of $25 in brake pads because they're warped. Okay? It's hard to live on the edge. But if you just back off the edge some, I need a demonstrator model this morning. Who's going to get up? Don't make me pick. Come here. I want you to walk right down the edge of that platform. Right as close to the edge as you can get. No, closer. Okay. How much did it take for me to knock you over the edge?
Very little.
Now I want you to walk 3 feet away from the edge. Take off. Could I knock him off the edge? He's my really good friend, so he lets me hit him like that. But I had a picture. I refrained. I found a picture of a huge sumo wrestler, this little kid pushing up on his belly. And a lot of times that's what you feel like when you're out on the edge because you got, you know, you know you're on the edge. And you know one little hit, you're going over. Well, Satan is like a sumo wrestler. If you know it, he really knows it. And he'll put everything he can against you first to get you to the edge. Because if you'll notice, he kept walking, and I kept pushing, getting closer to the edge. And if I'd have got him right out here on the edge, one blow would have finished him off. And the enemy knows this. If he can get you to move a little bit towards the edge, and a little bit towards the edge, and you have that debate, and you start saying, is it right or is it wrong? How many men in here have looked a little bit too long when a really attractive woman walks by when your wife is not here? Again, the most honest man in the room. I have done this. I'm sorry. But I have sinned. How many women have known when you started having that conversation, your women's intuition went off, but you silenced it? We got any honest women? Thank you. So, now there are some good things that come with being on the edge. You get a lot done. You have a lot of experiences. You help a lot of people. And some of you need adrenaline and being right on the edge to feel alive. Is anybody like that? You better raise your hand, Bonnie. She thrives on deadlines. It's what makes her come into action. If she don't have a deadline, it really doesn't get done. But you put her under a deadline, and she comes to life. She's a dynamo. I have to get out of the house. She's like barking orders. She's a drill sergeant. Get over here and get, and she gets stuff done. Makes my stress level high. So now, I went to, and this is going to be short and sweet this morning, so I'll go through it pretty quick. I went to Brian Lindberg. He's a professional counselor. Bonnie and I, he's our marriage counselor. Yes, we go to marriage counseling. And yes, we don't like each other sometimes. Yeah. And he helps us. I would encourage anybody, if you don't like your spouse at one time or another, go see Brian. He's great. He's got down-to-earth advice like this. And this did not come from me. This came from Brian. I was talking to him about stress last week. He says, your immune system is your largest consumer of energy in your body. And stress lowers your energy level. So what's the first thing that's going to suffer? Your immune system, your health. You'll get colds, you'll get sick. And you'll think, you won't really put the two together. You'll just think, I feel bad. Rotten kids brought home sickness from school again. I ran to that lady at Walmart. She sneezed all over me. Well, yeah. But it's probably your immune system's low. And he said, you know, you need to relieve that stress. And, you know, you can do that by stepping away from the edge and walking over here. Listen to what God says. God says that's a bad idea. Step away from it. Don't say, well, I think this one time I can help this person and there won't be any danger and I can do it on my own. You're going over. Step back here. Reduce your stress. Say, you know, I probably could do that, but I don't have to because I'm going to stay out here. And you can walk wherever you want to. Little hits come along, you stay up. Now, the second way to reduce stress, or not the second way, but he said a really good way for husbands and wives, is sex. Now, this is not me. This is a professional counselor who said this. He went so far as to say, he says, I tell husbands and wives, if you start fighting, start stripping. Because there's no way, listen, there's no way a man can fight with a naked woman. I was like, he is a genius! A genius! So remember, I didn't say that. The counselor said that, okay? The men are going to be in line tomorrow. Hey, what's your number? Yeah, I'll be coming to see you. So you got to reduce the stress. Now, going back to following too closely and the things that can happen, let's see that first picture about things that can happen if you're following too closely. Anybody recognize that guy? That's me. And you know what I was doing? Somebody tell me. Following too closely. I was going along to work one morning. I was just minding my own business. I was looking off the road. I was going not too fast, but I wasn't really paying attention to what was in front of me. There was a car evidently in front of me. Because when I looked off right before this, there was a guy with a golf club in his yard, and I was just, you know, looking at him. I looked back up. Brake lights! Right in front of me. All I could do is hit the brakes, turn right as hard as I could. Well, I missed the car. That's the good thing. The bad thing was there was a bank there. And you kind of see my marks. I went up. Show me the next picture. I missed what? Yeah, I didn't miss that pole. Because Bonnie, I showed Bonnie this picture. She said, you're a good driver. I'm like, no, I'm not. If I was a good driver, I wouldn't be up on that bank. God kept me from that pole. Because if I'd have hit the pole, Chris, what would have happened? I would have rolled. And you know how I know God is in this and this is a lesson? No ticket, no damage, no tow bill. And that's amazing to me. But it was a wake-up call. I wish I could tell you that it worked and I drive slow and I don't push things. But what did I do this morning in Walmart? I went across the parking lot the wrong way. And if you hadn't been paying attention, I don't think I'd be here. I'd be talking to a police officer right now. So, I've had an adventure summer. I picked up robbers. I've about flipped my car. All in the same car. But, huh? No, I'm calling that car Tuffy. But was it peaceful? I haven't had much peace this summer. Did I enjoy it? Not especially. I haven't had a vacation this summer. I'm not maintaining a margin in my life. Is that what God wants us to do? Let's look at some scripture. Romans 14, 17 through 19 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Therefore, let us make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. 1 Peter 3:11. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. Psalm 34, 14. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Isaiah 32, 17. The fruit of that righteousness will be peace. Its effect will be quietness and confidence forever. Proverbs 15, 16. It's better to have little with fear for the Lord than to have great treasure in inner turmoil. There's, you know, we've been talking about time, but there's also this problem of sin in our life. And when we, like I said, when we start to flirt with it, when we start to debate about it, we're also doing something else. I read this great book that Mike bought for us. It's called The Me I Want to Be from John Ortberg. And it talks about this thing of grieving the Holy Spirit. Okay, and when you start to grieve the Holy Spirit, what are you doing? What's to grieve mean? Huh? Make sad or upset. That's good. She already got one, so you get that one. To make sad or upset. The Holy Spirit, Jesus left the Holy Spirit as a comforter and a helper for us. But if we start to upset it, to make it sad, to grieve it, suddenly in this book, he puts it really well. If we're with the flow of the Holy Spirit, if we're in God's will, our life is flourishing. We're happy, we're joyous, we're engaged, we're serving, we're doing stuff. Now, if we're out of the flow of the Holy Spirit and we're grieving it, he calls it languishing. And that means we're more irritable. We get angrier easy. We're not living life to its fullest. We're just getting along. We're not serving. We start thinking about ourselves and our interests. Okay? And the way he put it, the Holy Spirit's like a smoke alarm. And in his book, he tells a story. One night, he wakes up in the middle of the night, smoke alarm's going off. Well, he doesn't smell any smoke. You know, it's just beeping. How many people have had smoke alarms in their house go off in the middle of the night? And for me, I've got like seven. So I go around at 1 o'clock in the morning, and this one goes beep, but no, it's over there. So I go walk under this one. You know, and what do? I take out the battery when I find it. What did he do? He got up. He said, there's no smoke. Nothing's wrong. I'm taking out the battery. So he goes back to bed. Well, about 10 o'clock in the morning, they call and say, is your name Ortberg? Your wife's on the phone. Your house is burning down. Well, there was a fire. And he came home, and some birds had built a nest in the chimney. A nest in the chimney, and he built a fire. And his house is filled with smoke. You know, it's coming out everywhere. And he's relating the smoke alarm to the Holy Spirit because it was beeping. It was trying to tell him, you've got a problem. But what did he do? He ignored it. How many of us this morning are ignoring a beeping in our life? Did you raise your hand? Honest woman, thank you. I am. It's beeping all morning at me. I just walked by it. What I'm going to say this morning, is it out? I can talk loud enough. What I want to say this morning is don't ignore the beeping. If there's something in your life, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say if you've debated it for more than a week, it's not right. If you have to ask yourself yes or no, yes or no, yes or no for more than a week, you probably already know the answer. And you just need to go ahead and go with the right answer. Because God knows everything. He knows what you're in. He's already given you all the instructions you need in the Bible. Look through Proverbs. It is full of life's little instructions. It says, you see that woman? Don't go anywhere around her. She's trouble. Her steps lead to hell. Don't be associated with men with a lying tongue that speak evil of other people. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. And your peace will take care of itself. But too often, we just want to have it our way. Try it one time. Push it. See if you're the one person in the history of the world that can do this and get away with it. And most of the time, if you're like me, you find out, no, you're not it. There was one person who dealt with the devil and debated him. And, you know, he's in heaven right now, and he's not come back yet. Okay, so unless you're him, don't do that. Just stay well away from that edge and walk up here. I got a really good example of this. My father-in-law, I was going out there one night, and when I get there, he's got a cow that's got a calf that he has to pull. Now, how many of you have ever pulled a calf? Yeah. Is the cow real happy about this? I mean, you'd think she'd line up. Say, okay, go ahead. This hurts. No, she was, I heard it from 50 yards away. I heard the barn vibrating when the cow is like trying to tear the thing apart, kicking, and he's getting a rope on her. But, you know, I figured out how the enemy gets us and how I got that cow to do anything I wanted. Well, not anything, but I controlled it. You get a rope around the neck of this cow, and you wrap it around a pole twice, and you just wait. Just wait. Let it throw its fit. Let it do anything. But when it gives you a little slack, you jerk the rope tighter. And it'll get loose again, and you'll jerk the rope tighter. And eventually, you'll have this cow's head right here. And she can't move. No matter how much she wants to, she can't move, and she'll eventually give up fighting. Well, men especially, because sometimes we're as smart as a cow. If you got your rope in a neck, Satan is pulling you towards this post, and one day he will get your head down, and he will do anything he wants to you. Do you understand me, men? If there's anything that you feel like it's around your neck right now, you better be figuring out a way to get it off your neck, because cows don't have opposable thumbs and they have no way to lift it off, but you do. Okay? So you better be figuring out that out. And that's your margin. You've got to leave yourself some margin, because if you don't, you will make mistakes. You will live your life in stress, and you won't have the joy that Jesus has promised you. Okay? In the next few weeks, Mike's going to talk about the different ways of having margin. What is it? Financial, spiritual, and there's moral. Yeah, that's a big one. And I'm doing good on time. Nice. Listen, I want to do something this morning. I want to do it a few weeks ago. There used to be this thing we did called Body Life. And what we did was people would want to say something, and we'd give them an opportunity to say it. They'd want to say, I just want to stand up and thank God for what he's done in my life this week. Or they would ask for help, or they would say, whatever. You know, and I miss this. I miss sharing among the body. So I'm going to ask you this morning, if there's anybody, and I think there's somebody in here who has something to say that will bless us all, and I think there's somebody in here who needs help with something that we would all pray for if they just say it and not be alone. And how this works, how many of your people have seen like David Letterman, where he goes around the audience with a microphone? Well, that's what Mike's going to do. He'll stand up. All you got to do is raise your hand. You don't have to come up anywhere. Just raise your hand. If you've got anything to say this morning, I hope somebody lets God speak through them what their hearts want to say, and don't let the devil be the super glue that keeps your rear end on the seat. Stand up and say it. If you got something to say, I knew I could count on Jack.
You knew it, didn't you? It's on? Okay. I'm a type of person that doesn't have much margin. Not because I'm too busy, because I make myself too busy. I've got to be doing something all the time, and I got to be busy. And then after Mike's message last week, I said, somehow I've got to find a little bit of time somehow to not be quite so busy. And some of you may know we're working on a project of our own choosing. And yesterday was my plans to go over to where I'm working and work. And somehow I just didn't feel quite up to it. And Claudia suggested, well, why don't we just go over to the flea market? Well, we went, walked. I've never walked so much in my life. And I was more tired than if I had done physical labor all day long. But it was margin. It was something that I didn't have to do. And it just gave me an opportunity. I came home tired, exhausted. But it was, I probably more tired than if I'd actually gone and worked. But to just take time to do something, what I was going to do is going to be there Tuesday when I get ready to do it again. It didn't go away. The work is still there. We just need to find some time. And that sort of struck me last week when we started this series on March. And I've got to find some time to do something that is just enjoyable and doesn't keep me quite so busy.
If you remember, last week I gave everybody a challenge to take 5 minutes each day to do nothing.
I had a few hours because God decided
Who else?
I really enjoyed last Sunday, and but it got me thinking. Unlike a lot of people, I'm at the opposite end of the spectrum. I have too much time. I don't work. I'm disabled. I don't have a vehicle. I have to wait for the taxi to show up or a good friend to come and get me for me to go anywhere. The friends who usually bring me to church are out of town this weekend. You know, big weekend for family reunions and that type of thing. So I'm like, well, how am I going to get to church tomorrow? So, trusting in God, I posted on Facebook yesterday, I need somebody to take me to church. If you're willing to do that, message me, call me. This is my number. And the Lord blessed me. Brandy came and got me this morning and brought me to church. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that I've known Brandy and Chris for years and think a lot of them. God put these people in my life when I needed them. And I'm so thankful.
It's not just having time available. It's using that time you do have available in a wise way. We'll talk about that next week. I see Gary back here.
Thanks, Mike. I went home this week and been watching the storm down in Louisiana and, you know, seeing what the progress was and things of that sort. And I had it on my heart to call one of the guys that we had worked with down there and had rebuilt his house, in essence, had gutted it out several years ago, and just see how he was and see if he'd learned a lesson. I call him up and I say, hey, Clarence, how are you doing? He said, I'm doing great. And I said, where are you? He said, I'm in Vicksburg, Mississippi. He said, I learned a lesson. And so he'd gotten out of New Orleans, but he's over in Vicksburg. But he was doing absolutely wonderful. And he and his wife were there together, and he just wanted to let us know that as well as a church. And then he said that he had sent us a letter. Well, there were several people, I think, it probably got a letter this week that from Clarence and Hattie, actually on the 7th anniversary of Katrina, because we had been down there and helped out with his house, I think, about 5 times. But anyway, he was just really, really thankful. And whenever he sent the letter thanking us after 7 years and knowing that the storm was there and not knowing how he was going to get back, what he was going to end up finding whenever he gets back home, and that he's still very encouraging of us and thankful for us and the work that ended up taking place and how we have impacted people's lives throughout the country and around the world. And it just gave you a sense of encouragement about what has taken place. And so really, Clarence and Hattie, I'd have them in our prayers today, as well as the rest of their family and all the other folks down in New Orleans and that whole area down there, many of us have probably have remembered them this week, and just wanted to bring that to your attention.
And having margin is the ability to be able to go on a trip like that and serve, do mission work. I see Chad's hand back here, and who else back here? Misty too.
I just want to thank God for my higher power today. He's been such a true blessing to me. I have really been struggling through a lot of issues here lately, and God has really been on my side, helping me through these. Talking about this morning at the message that you brought to me, was talking about stress. I continue to stress over everything and anything. So as much, I need much margin in my life today. And it's going to take time, slowly but surely. But I thank God for being here.
I'm just blessed to be at a church that journeys with you. Travis said it the best. Is sometimes when you see us up front, you think that we got it together. We don't. We struggle. There's areas of my life that I'm struggling in. But I'm thankful for a God that has mercy and grace. I'm thankful for a wife that's understanding. And something else that I was really that I've been thankful for is the small group that I was a part of this last session. It's just powerful. And without the small group, without the life group, I wasn't left hanging. And the life group came around us, came around, I mean, just, it wasn't just me, it was others in the life group that just prayed over people, loved people for where they're at. And I'm thankful for a church that loves people for where they're at. Because you could be a couple of things. You could come to church on Sunday, put the mask on, and look really pretty. Or you could come messed up, torn up, but God is there to rescue you and heal you. And we just need to say, God, here I am. Take me, mold me.
Anybody else?
I just want to praise God for this church, and letting it be and letting us have this place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that. And if this morning the band's coming up, this morning, if you want some margin or you want to get rid of some stress, if you want to, just come up here this morning. Just come up here, and as they play this song, Rescue, If you don't want to come up, just sit in your seats, close your eyes, and think about the song. Because we all need rescue in some way. And Jesus will rescue us. He does every day, and we don't even know it. So as we get through this song, if it's on your heart and you're under too much stress this morning, and you know you need some margin in your life, come up. Come up. We'll pray with you. I'd love to see the whole church up here because I know I'm not the only one. And the people that need it need your prayers too, so. Thank you. What a great morning. At least it's been for me. Thank y'all for being here. I'm going to close this in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord. Let this be a new beginning. Let us walk out of here with our eyes open. Let us walk out of here. Let us walk out of here assured of your love in our lives. And let us claim your peace and help us to see it. Help us to see where our peace is being taken away. And help us to have the strength and the courage and the patience to start that change, to gain some margin in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for all these people. Please walk with them this week throughout their lives. We love you, Lord. Amen.